Gennaro Ferra, also known as Mr. Australia, also known as Natural Mr. Universe. Thank you for coming on The 15-Minute Founder. If you couldn't tell, the goal is in 15 minutes to learn everything about you. And I'm excited for this episode because I think you can give some real tactical advice. So let's dive in. I introduce you as Mr. Australia and Natural Mr. Universe. For those listening, that is related to bodybuilding.
Right.
Can you tell me how you became not only Mr. Australia, what does that mean, but how did you become Natural Mr. Universe as well?
Well, it took me 4 years to win the Mr. Australia. 4 years of solid, hard, consistent training. I started bodybuilding when I was my first year out of high school. I enrolled at La Trobe University in Melbourne and decided that I was going to defer so I could put all my energy and all my resources into competing initially as a teenager. So before I won the Mr. Australia, I won the teenage state title, the teenage Mr. Victoria. About 2 years into training, and then it took me another 2 years to win the open class Mr. Australia, where I was competing basically against guys that were in their 30s, and I was only 22, and I happened to win that title, and then go on to the Mr. Universe in London and represent Australia at the NABBA Mr. Universe.
Hold on, so you were in your early 20s when you won Mr. Australia.
Yep.
Then I got to rewind here. How did you get into bodybuilding in your teens? What drove you to start competing then? And can you talk to me about the first time you thought, this is something I want to dedicate time to and defer potentially school for it too?
I always had a fascination with the body. Like, you know, I was a very good athlete. I played Australian rules football, soccer, cricket, and ate very well at home. My father was a chef, so we always ate excellent food and developed a fairly lean, muscular, but wiry physique. I wasn't big at all. And I was a short kid. Short and skinny. So I always looked up to my two older brothers, some of my friends who left school early and started getting into the weights earlier than I did. And I was just fascinated by what the potential of what the male body could take on. You know, my first visions of like a masculine male strong body was a nice V taper, a nice chest, well-developed shoulders. You always want something you don't have, right? And so my old man, my dad, enrolled me in a gym straight out of high school. And, you know, I started, but I couldn't quite understand how to build size, like quality size. So then after about a year of training at one gym, I went on to another gym where there were actually young teenage bodybuilders competing in shows. And I learned a lot more at that gym where there were much more competitive bodybuilders there. You know, I was 17, 18. The guys were already 24, 25 that I could learn a lot from.
There's clearly a difference between someone who works out and someone who not only trains for a bodybuilding show, but competes and ends up winning at the highest levels. So let's go back to when you decided, I'm not going to just work out. I'm going to compete. I want to build this dream physique, this ideal physique. What do you need to actually get on stage and compete in a bodybuilding competition? And then the next question is, what does training actually look like for that too? Could you walk through what a training plan looks like?
Firstly, I would advise people to go and see shows and then put themselves on stage next to the division that they wish to enter in. In my case, it was teenage bodybuilding. And back in the mid 80s, teenage bodybuilding was a big deal. I mean, a lot of, you know, because it was doable. It was something that was within reach, especially if you were coming from a sporting background. You had decent abs, a good chest, get up on stage. So watch videos, watch YouTube videos of competitions, physique, classic bodybuilding, and go back home and look in the mirror, right? And visualize kind of like where you fit. I mean, this is something I had a burning desire for. I was like, oh, I love this. Like, I love the fact that you are able to like move your body through space and create different looks and poses and make the muscles pop in different ways. Like, that was, for me, the art form of bodybuilding appealed to me more than everything, really. You know, I enjoyed the mass building phase, the ability to bring up weak body parts. So all these things were a massive challenge for me. And I thought this is something something that actually I felt like, even though I didn't realize my full potential and my full gift, I thought something inside me said I could do this and I can do it well. That was the fire that drove me to continue on watching shows, posing with my friends in the lounge room as we were watching the Mr. Olympias, putting music on, just spontaneously breaking out into the routines, getting excited. And the routines were, back then I did a 2-day split. So I trained Monday and Tuesday. I trained the whole body. Like I would do chest, back and biceps on Monday and legs, shoulders and triceps on Tuesday, Wednesday off, and then repeat Monday's routine on Thursday and repeat Tuesday's routine Friday, weekend off. But then I found that to be just too much volume, too many body parts. So then I went on to do a 3-day split, chest back day one, legs day two, shoulders, arms day three, and rest day four, repeat.
When I ask a lot of people, a lot of friends, why do you exercise? Why do you work out? They might say, hey, I want to run this mile time or I want to lift this much weight. If you keep playing the why game though, it comes down to, I want to look good with my shirt off. I want 6-pack abs and I want to feel good. That comes up over and over again. If you are someone out there who's listening and let's say they want to finally look good and for them, they've decided, not that I set the standard, they want 6-pack abs. We're going to come to your business. You've worked with hundreds, if not thousands of clients too. If a client comes to you and says, I want 6-pack abs, what do you tell them tactically? What can they do to get abs?
You have to take each client, each individual, their own genetic structure, right? It's based on what they currently look like. So if they need to lose maybe 20 pounds of fat, then we need to step up the cardio and maybe make the workout routines a little bit more whole body focused. It depends really on who's coming to see me and what level they're entering at. You know what I mean? But I would definitely say eat as clean as possible. Eat at home as often as possible. Record all your meals because that keeps you accountable and you can look back on that journal and maybe extrapolate reasons why you have progressed so well and then other maybe possibly that you haven't in some instances. You go back. You know what I mean?
A lot of people might hear journaling and they might say right away, that's too much work. I don't want to do it. That being said, you've maintained an elite physique for decades, not just days, not just weeks or months, but decades. If you ask a lot of people, I think they would say, hey, I don't want to work out to get in shape just for a weekend. I want it to be part of my lifestyle.
Yeah.
Are you just perpetually motivated? Are you perpetually disciplined? Are you motivated every day to stay in shape? What advice would you give to someone who's been trying? They are trying. They want this to be a goal. They want to get in better shape. They want to improve themselves, but they just struggle to actually find the discipline or find the motivation to do so.
Well, it's just that, isn't it? It's the discipline and the consistency that keeps me in the game, that keeps my fitness and my health at such a high level because I'm doing it. I'm thinking about it every day. Even when I go on vacation, when I go to Italy, when I go to Colombia, when I'm in Australia, I'm constantly not obsessing, but it's got to be part of my day. Like when I went to Colombia in Australia, every morning I'd get up, have a coffee, go to the gym. If I didn't do it that morning, I would have breakfast, go for a walk, visit some friends. But in the back of my head, I was like, I need to get to the gym. And if I didn't get to the gym that day, I would be like, all right, no big deal. I'll get there tomorrow. So it has to be ingrained in you. It's not a laborious thing for me. It's something that sort of reflects who I am, that makes me feel good, that fuels my creativity, fuels the way I want to project myself, you know what I mean? As a positive role model.
I like what you said. If there's a day when you miss, it's not the end of the world. You don't spiral out of control. It's next day, I'm going to get right back on track.
Exactly. You know, and the eating's always pretty good. The thing that does irk me is when I sit down for a meal, you know, let's say I'm with a friend and we're eating out and you ask for baked potato and you get French fries. It's like, all right, this wasn't really what I wanted. And then your mates are like, come on, just eat it anyway. And you eat it and then you just feel disgusting, but it's okay. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't something that I'd planned for, but you got to get over it, you know?
I'm glad you brought this up. I actually want to ask this. Anytime someone tries to make a change, they're very much stepping outside of their comfort zone and outside of what maybe people around them are doing. Maybe when they are eating out with friends, they're not being health conscious, but all of a sudden when they change, they might start to get smirks or people might start to make comments like that.
Exactly.
How do you deal with that when you're trying to get discipline, stay with the diet, but maybe people aren't resonating with you? Do you have any feedback for folks who are trying to make the change, but maybe socially aren't able to do so?
Yeah, I mean, I get it to this day. I get people like, oh, like, can you just try it? Can you just eat like a normal person, for God's sake? But I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm happy for you with your fried chicken and your mashed potato with gravy. That's great. That looks fantastic. I'm happy. But I want to eat my grilled chicken over Greek salad or, you know, like rice and salmon. I love that, right? You could try to tempt me, but I'm sticking to my guns, you know? Just stay in your lane, I'll stay in mine. But that's not to say occasionally I will have pizza and ice cream, but when I decide I want it, I'll enjoy it. You know what I mean? I'll be like, I'll have no qualms about it. There'll be no guilt attached to it. I'll eat it, I'll enjoy it. And, you know, maybe the next day I will do a fasted walk. You know, I'll do it like an intermittent fast. You know, you spend all these years creating and winning big titles. Why shouldn't I be able to maintain that stature, that prestige, even if I'm not competing? Just because I got married and had a kid and whatever, you know, certain events in life chip away at you and you're devastated by certain events in your life. You got to keep saying, you know what? I'm number one. I need to do what makes me happy.
Another question I have is, can you talk about how alcohol fits into health? Either your health journey or if someone is trying to get in shape, does alcohol have a role, a place? What is your personal opinion on that?
I had my moments with alcohol, especially during my party years in Australia, early to mid to late 90s, up until I came here in 97. You know, on the weekends, I would down 4 or 5 shots of whatever. And that took a toll. But again, I would get back on the beginning of the week and be consistent for up until Friday when I went out and partied again. It's not good. You know, it just ties you out. It's a depressant. Alcohol is depressant. And next day, around midday, you start to feel like you need a couple of more coffees and you spiral. It's a vicious cycle. And so alcohol is not the best choice. But I understand that some people are pushed to drink, to be part of the circle.
If someone were to come to you with questions or says, hey, I'm tired of the way I look, tired of the way I feel, I want to make a change, and they come to you, you actually run a business, you consult with people, you actually train, you coach. Could you talk a bit about your business, how it came to be, and what is the Hollywood slogan or sign for your business? What is your mission? What are you trying to do or achieve through your business?
So I started in my late teens, believe it or not. After my first show as a teenager when I was 19, I had a couple of guys that were fairly astonished and shocked as to how I did that. And so I started training competitors in my teens. But then formally, I needed to present potential clients with a structure to sit down with them and say, okay, this is how your 12-week course is going to look. And I wasn't quite sure how to go about that. So there was a gentleman who was a trainer. He was probably at least 10, 15 years older than me. And he was kind of like my mentor. And he took me under his wing and we had a few meetings, you know, we had a few coffees and he said, look, this is how I do it. He showed me how to package training. When you're training a client, you need to be with them. You need to be mentally and physically with them while they're engaged in the exercise. You know what I mean? That's a good trainer. Someone who's attentive, who's there if they need a spot. Because a good coach, a good trainer needs to be on for that hour or hour and a half or 30 minutes. Because, you know, you're being paid top dollar. Be present. And then it reflects other people are watching as well, believe me. So that's something that I hold high too. I'm very proud of the fact that over the years, the quality, not only of my physique, but of my service has only got better.
Sounds like you're very motivated, disciplined. You've built a business. You've maintained your personal physique and you've helped educate and actually change the lives of others through the business too and through your education. This makes me want to ask you, for the Gennaro of today, and this can change over time,
yeah.
It's said that there's one of four forces that can be the main motivator motivator for a person? Money, power, pleasure, or fame? For you today, what would you say is the main driving force behind the actions you take and what you're setting out to do?
I would say pleasure, because pleasure is something just special to you. Only you know what pleases you. Different things please you versus me, right? That's totally unique to the individual, right? It's something that can't be taken away from you. Like, why are we here? We're here to receive pleasure and give pleasure, right?
Love that. I do want to wrap up with a couple rapid fire questions. I have a couple here that I want to run through. The first question is, can you talk about sleep? What time do you typically go to sleep on an ideal day, and when do you like to wake up as well?
I usually fall asleep around 10:30, 11, and I'm up anywhere between 5 and 6.
Talk to me about coffee or caffeine. Do you drink caffeine?
Yes.
Do you drink coffee? And if so, how do you drink your coffee?
I like in espresso form. Italian espresso, you know, I'll do about anywhere up to 5 shots a day, to be honest.
5 shots a day.
A bit of a caffeine fiend, yeah.
Take me through a perfect day of meals. What does an ideal day look like for you eating-wise?
I would have to say oats and a couple of scoops of whey with some raisins, some vegan-type milk, like a soy milk or a flax milk. You know, about 5 meals a day. That's meal one. Meal two would be maybe 5 whole eggs with 2 or 3 slices of gluten-free toast. Meal three would be sweet potato and salmon, all cooked at home, by the way. Meal four would be a shake with some raw nuts and maybe a couple of rice cakes. And meal five would be a nice, big, fat, tender, juicy steak with broccoli, some peppers, and mushrooms. I don't even eat, I mean, you know, I struggle to eat that today, but some days I hit it. And most days I have about 4 meals plus a shake, but that's a good nutritious day's worth of meals right there.
I love it. If you could only choose 5 exercises and you're building a workout plan, what are the 5 most important exercises that someone has to include in their plan?
I would definitely say barbell squats, bench press, barbell bench press, pull-ups or chin-ups, body weight pull-ups, chin-ups, that's 3. Barbell bent over rows and a dumbbell side raise for the shoulders.
If you had to add 5 more, what else would you add?
I would say lying leg raises for the abs, push-ups, because those you can do anywhere you need to, a straight leg deadlift for the hamstrings, and definitely a standing calf raise, and then maybe another back exercise, because I love training back, like a seated row.
That's the 10 right there, the critical ones. One more question I have is, how did you actually end up here today? And can you talk about some of the biggest influences you had growing up?
So I was invited here. I was actually here on vacation the year before I officially moved here. And I was spotted by another trainer when I was training at Gold's Gym in Venice. And he wanted to know about me, my background. He's kind of very curious about me because even though I was on vacation, I was still in good shape. And he connected me with his friend who was a photographer for various bodybuilding and fitness magazines. We spoke. I was filming a leg routine in Gold's Gym, which eventually went to the magazines. The publishers were here in New York. They invited me to come in and then said, look, you need to be here. We're going to put you on the cover of Natural Bodybuilding and Fitness. They ran a string of, they had their own Natural Bodybuilding Federation. They said, we're going to put you in our shows. It was very welcoming. I think you need to make yourself available, expose yourself in a way, right? And that's what I was doing when I was at the gym. I was walking around, even though I was amongst guys that were 3 times the size of me, I always walk around with an air of confidence. So wherever you're projecting some sort of energy vibration, and that's what I feel like Americans, when I came here, were drawn to. They were curious about me and saw potential in me that I may not have seen myself at the time. You know what I mean? Whereas in Australia, it was a whole different kettle of fish. What else did you ask me?
Biggest influence. That could be a story, a book, a quote, a lesson from your family, lesson from a friend.
both my mum and dad are passed now, but I would say, I mean, my mum was an amazing influence, but my dad was huge influence. He was just so very smart. My dad was, in addition to being a chef, he was also a poet and he loved to read a lot. I was very proud of him for being such a great chef working in the best restaurants in Australia. Not only that, he was funny. He was smart. He was spontaneous. He was everything I wanted to be. And when I started bodybuilding, he wasn't quite sure what he felt about it. But when I won the Mr. Australia, he cut out the magazine, the newspaper, I framed them. And then when we'd be out, he said, you know who, tell strangers, you know who this guy is? He's a Mr. Australia. You know what I mean? Even though he wasn't a massive fan of bodybuilding, he was still very proud that it had achieved that level of excellence, you know?
I love that. What's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten?
Probably from my dad. Fuck everyone.
Explains itself. Last question I have is, if you could have a billboard,
yeah,
and it's on the most popular highway or the most trafficked highway in the world,
yeah,
and it could have one message on it, what would that message say?
Be your best. Yeah.
Be your best. I love it. That's a great way to wrap. Gennaro Ferrer, thank you so much for coming on The 50 Minute Founder. If anyone listening to this wants to find you online or is interested in maybe working with you, how can they find you?
They can go to my website, ferrerfitness.com, or at Instagram at ferrerfitness. I have my own YouTube channel, which they can find if they just type in my full name, Gennaro Ferrer. Facebook as well.
What a way to wrap. And I will finish by saying Mr. Australia does talk the talk and he walks the walk. When he was talking earlier about putting himself out there or putting yourself out there, the way I met you was I was walking by Madison Square Park and I saw this guy posing in the middle of Madison Square Park outside. And I looked by and said, who is this guy? That's how we met. Next thing you know, we're here. So I'm excited to run this back in a few years. Thanks for coming on the pod.
Anytime, mate. Thank you so much.